I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and also wishing one and all a very blessed Lunar New Year.
Many years ago, when you buy the pig's organ soup, it comes with a chunk of blood. And many of you who are of my generation, going to turn 50 this year, God willing, we had eaten blood before. The taste and the texture, very unusual. It's cooked, it comes in cube form, and you bite into it, it explodes in your mouth. It's delicious. So why is it not sold today? Perhaps because of hygiene reasons, and therefore you do not find blood being sold, and you visit those stalls that sells pig's organ soup. But I do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was thinking of pig's organ soup when he said these words to Noah. For the first time in the history of mankind, God gave man permission to eat meat. Before the flood, they were to eat only vegetable or fruits, not allowed to eat meat. But perhaps the wicked people in the days of Noah before the flood, because of sin, they probably ate meat. But after the flood, there was a change. And for the first time, this was what God said to man, to Noah. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So they will now be afraid of man. Before that, there was no fear of man. Animals, birds, and fish would just come to the sight of man, and there would be no problem because man would not or was not supposed to eat them. But now God said, I will put fear in the hearts and minds of all these creatures, the birds, the beasts, and the fish, and they will run away from you. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. So anything and everything that moveth on the earth, Noah, you and your wife, your sons and their wives, from now onwards, you can see them, you can now eat them. But because you can eat them, they will now be afraid of you. They will flee from you. Even as green herb have I given you all things. But there is the qualification, verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Ye are not allowed to eat blood. Ye are not allowed to eat meat that has been strangled where the blood has not been drained off. Ye are not allowed to eat blood. Surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. So blood will now take on special significance. It had a significance in the past. Because when God gave to Adam the first garment, it was the garment of an animal that had been killed. So there was shedding of blood that Adam saw when God gave him the garment to clothe his nakedness. But he did not eat the meat of the animal whose blood that was shed. He ate only fruits and vegetables. But now he can kill. He can see the blood flows off. He will touch the blood with his hands. And this blood he cannot eat. He can only eat the meat of animals whose blood have been drained off, whether it is of the sky or in the ocean or on land. You can eat all the animals. Maybe he was a Chinese, because Chinese eat everything and anything that has legs, except tables and chairs. Right? Anything that has four legs, Chinese will eat. You name it, Chinese will eat it. He was allowed to eat anything and everything, just as he was in the past, where you can eat all sorts of vegetables and fruits, now animals, fish, birds, all yours. When it came to the time of Israel, God has separated the animals into clean animals, clean birds, clean fish, unclean animals, unclean birds, unclean fish. And blood. Blood was also forbidden for them to consume. You can see that in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, verse 26 to 28. This is what the Bible says. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use entrantment nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of your beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So command was given to the people of Israel, you cannot eat blood. This was in the Old Testament. This was in the days of the nation of Israel as a witness to the one living and true God. And then in Acts chapter 15, verse 20 and 29, you have the same command given to the church. In Acts 15, verse 20 and 29. Acts 15, verse 20 and 29. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, where the blood is inside, and from blood. Verse 29. That ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So they were not allowed to eat blood in the time of Noah, for the first time, and they were given permission to eat meat, for the nation of Israel, and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what teaching can be gleaned from this? The first lesson to take note concerning why Christians should not, must not, and not allowed to eat blood is the continuous commandment that God gave to us. This continuous commandment spanned from the very first time when God gave mankind, his creatures, permission to eat other creatures, other living things, other than plant and fruits. Blood you are not allowed to eat. Plain and simple. The continuous commandment carries through for thousands of years from the time of Noah, right through the time when Israel was formed, right into the New Testament when the church was formed. They are not allowed to eat blood. This continuous commandment applies to us today as well. Not allowed to eat blood. The second thing to note is this. It is a continuous protection. Why is it a continuous protection? In those days, as it is sometimes in our age and in our time, in certain kinds of cultic worship, drinking of blood is part and parcel of the ritual that you find in black magic, in the occult. Because they believe that if I drink the blood of my enemies, I will be able to overwhelm them, I will be able to conquer them. I read about the life of Idi Amin. Some of you may still remember him. I'm not sure whether he is dead or alive. He was a despot who ruled Uganda. He was a huge man, 6 foot over, 6'4" or 6 foot six. His manner of controlling his enemies, especially people from different tribes, was to cut off their head, put them in the freezer, and as and when he would have his big grand occasion, he would take out the heads of his enemies to boast of his conquest. And he would have no problem drinking their blood, the blood of his enemies, because he believed, as he practiced black magic, that by this kind of sick ritual, he will have power over his enemies, and his gods, his demons, would give him the strength and the power to rule with an iron hand. As it was in our age and in our time, more so in the age and in the time of Israel in the Old Testament, when the Canaanites' form of worship, which involved all sorts of hideous, immoral sexual activities, where prostitution and the sacrifices of sons and daughters through fire was a common feature. Drinking of blood was also a common feature. And that's why when God gave this to God's people as a continuous witness, because when God gave this to Noah, all of them were God's people. There were no other human being at that point in time except Noah, his three sons, and their wives, eight of them. And they were all God's children, for they were the only ones who survived the global flood. And likewise, in the time of Leviticus, it was also for God's people. Remember Leviticus 19, which we read a moment ago? That command not to eat blood came with other command. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, because this was the sin that was prevalent in the land of Canaan. It was a continuous protection and a witness for God's people. Because if they cannot drink blood, they cannot participate and embrace Baal worship and the worship of the Ashtaroth. Just as God forbid them from eating certain meat, and God divided into clean animals and unclean animals, clean birds, unclean birds, clean fish and unclean fish. Fish that has no scales, unclean. You cannot eat them. It's not because it is unhygienic. Never for hygienic reasons. None of the Bible's command and instructions are for carnal reasons, fleshly reasons. They're all for spiritual reasons. We eat stingray, no scales, but it's unclean animal in the Old Testament time. They're not allowed to eat stingray. And all fish that has no scales. There's nothing wrong with eating stingray. It's pretty delicious if you cook it pretty well. But they are not allowed to eat it. They are not allowed to eat pork. Char siu rice is pretty delicious. But they are not allowed to eat pork. Neither are they allowed to eat horse meat. Qualifications are specifically given. Those that do not chew the cud, those whose hooves are not split, they cannot consider them as clean. And amongst all the clean animals, only some of them can only be used for the offering to God. So there is a separation between God's people and Gentiles. That's a separation between what God's people can use for their own and what God alone can use. So there is this idea of biblical separation, this idea of a living witness and a testimony that God's people must remember throughout man's history. There is a continuation where God will have his visible witness and testimony on earth. The four nation of Israel, it was godly families. Noah's family, and out of three of Noah's family, three sons. And the line in which God chose was the line of Shem. Not Ham, not Japheth, but Shem. And out of all the descendants of Shem, God carefully chose the line of Terah. And out of all the sons of Terah, God chose only Abraham. And out of the sons of Abraham, God chose Isaac. Out of all the sons of Isaac, God chose Jacob. So there was a very careful and continuation of the line where the family at that point in time would be the visible witness and testimony, and they were not allowed to eat blood. And when the nation of Israel was formed, God carefully replaced all these firstborn sons with the Levites. The nation now would be the visible witness and testimony. So with a continuous commandment not to eat blood, God gave this to a continuous witness for God's people, that you bear my witness and my testimony, that you are not allowed to eat blood, that your life, the way of life, must be carefully guarded and protected, because when heathens look at your life, they must see God and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It was crucial. And to protect them, God told them, these animals you cannot eat, because in order for them to seal a covenant in the olden days, in the time of the Old Testament, whether it is a marriage covenant or a business covenant or a religious covenant, they will seal it by eating a meal. And some of these animals that the Gentiles, like the Philistines, like the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Edomites, all those surrounding nations around Israel, they would eat these animals as a sign of the conclusion of their covenant, whether business, marriage, or otherwise. But if Israel cannot eat these animals since they are unclean animals, that means there's no way they can compromise their witness, God's truth. That's why you have the separation between clean animals, clean fish, and clean birds. For the protection of God's people as a living, visible witness throughout the history of mankind, that God will always have his witness on earth to testify of who he really is. The continuous commandment carried on with the continuous witness. If you look at Acts chapter 15, the same thing. Certain Jews who were very sincere asked this question of the apostles and the leaders in the church in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas were in their first missionary trip, and this problem arose due to this sincere Jewish Christians asking, should Gentile Christians be circumcised? Because in the Old Testament, when you want to embrace the faith of the Old Testament God, Yahweh, you can do it, but you can also and must take the last and final step, and that is circumcision. The moment you do that, then you become a proselyte, that you embrace the faith of the people of Israel completely, 100%. If you believe in their teachings, believe in the God of Israel, but did not take the step of circumcision, then you will be like Cornelius. He is called a God-fearer. He embraced all the teachings, but he did not take the step of circumcision. That means he cannot take the Passover. But he loved the God of Israel. But he just cannot take the Passover because he was not circumcised. And so for someone who embraced the God of Israel, all the way, he must be circumcised in order for him to take the Passover, which is the high point of the religious life of the people of Israel. And so when it came to the time of the early church, these Jewish Christians had this notion. For them to be completely part of God's people, fully 100%, should they not be circumcised? And so the leaders deliberated. Paul and Barnabas were called back. Come and give us your view. Peter presented his view, his case, because he went to the home of Cornelius after God spoke to him through a vision. And then the conclusion was, Gentiles who already possess the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the moment they believe, 100% God's people, because this was exactly the same as what the Jews experienced in Acts chapter 2 in the day of the Pentecost. Therefore, their salvation is complete without circumcision. They are now God's people without circumcision. The conclusion, Gentiles do not need to be circumcised. And later on, this became a serious problem because Jewish false teachers entered into the churches in the province of Galatia. And they told them, it is good to believe in Jesus, but not complete. You must be circumcised. You must follow all the feast day. You must follow the Passover, the days of the unleavened bread, and so on and so forth. And then your salvation is complete. And Paul called that another gospel. Let that person be anathema. That became a very serious problem later on. But at this point in time, sincere Jewish Christians had to be taught, and they were taught, but for the protection of the Gentiles, that they will not cross the line and compromise the Christian faith, they were not allowed to do three things. Food offered to idols, not allowed to eat. Sin of fornication, which was part and parcel of the worship of the goddess of Diana in those days. The goddesses of the myths and the legends of the Greeks and the Romans. They were not allowed to commit fornication, a terrible sin, a sin that is so common today that people don't even bother to blink an eyelid. 2 days ago, I heard from the radio, children in Singapore between the ages of 14 and 18, 1 out of 4, commits fornication. We're talking about children. Fornication in Singapore, 25%. It is a very serious, terrible sin. And so it is forbidden, no fornication and no eating of blood. For the protection of God's people as a continuous witness, because the command is continuous and the witness must also be continuous.
That's why Christians cannot, must not, should not, and never eat blood. The third reason, continuous commandment number one, continuous witness and continuous protection, continuous atonement. And this you'll find in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 10 to verse 14. Leviticus 17, verse 10 to verse 14. Here God gave us the reason why God's people must not eat blood. Leviticus 17, verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. So there is a serious penalty, including Gentiles who live in the land of Israel. They must follow the way of life of the Israelites. They cannot have their own different way of life, because you live in Israel as a living, visible testimony, because in the Old Testament time, the visible witness and testimony of God is the nation of Israel. So God told the Israelites, if you have Gentiles living with you, they must adopt your way of life. No compromise. Today, the visible witness is not Israel anymore. Today, the visible witness of the one living and true God is you and it's me. Israel one day will be given back this same privilege, especially in the time of the millennium. But at this point in time, because of their unbelief, God had grafted in the Gentiles. And so all the biblical churches all over the world will be the visible witness of the testimony of the one living and true God. And this command is given by God to the people of God in Israel, and also to us in Acts 15. Do not eat blood. God takes this very, very seriously. I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among the people. What does it mean by cut off? Two meanings. Number one, cut off could mean ostracism. Kick the person out of the family life of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. To cut that person off means the person will be kicked out into the wilderness. That means the person will ultimately die. In the time of Moses, when God called Moses to take the people out of Egypt, he did not circumcise his son. He had two sons. One of them was circumcised, the other one was not. And God said, your son will die. And the son became very sick, about to die. Probably because the wife, who was a Gentile, did not want to circumcise the son. And then finally, the son was circumcised. And then his life was spared. Because God said, if you do not want to circumcise your son will be cut off. So based upon that incident, we know that the cut off could also mean premature death. God himself will take the person's life away, or you could mean ostracism, pick the person out of the life of the people of God. So in this particular case, either way, it would be ostracism. One, physically, he will be cut off. That means he will be barred from entering the land of Israel, or he will be killed. God will take his life. So it was a very serious penalty, consequence that followed to anyone who would break this continuous commandment. You cannot eat blood, because you will compromise your witness and your faith and your protection for the life of the flesh. Now that's the reason. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In other words, it is a continuous atonement. The blood is a representation of the continuous atonement that God had given to mankind. It has a symbolic value that continues on of this wonderful truth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so when they offer their sin offering, their burnt offering, what do they do with the blood of these animals? They will pour it on the altar. they will pour it on the altar of sacrifice as symbolic that this is yours. In other words, the life of God's people belong to God. And the blood represents it, whether it is animal's blood or whether it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the continuous atonement that the people of God must be reminded of. Our sin requires the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood, which means the termination of life. Someone had to die because of your sins, because of my sin. And that's why God's people must not and cannot and should not and never eat blood. The continuous command, the continuous witness, and the continuous atonement that God gave to His people from the time of Noah. Before that, they are not allowed to eat anymore. No meat. So no problem. But when God gave them permission to eat meat, blood is forbidden. To the people of God in the Old Testament, blood is forbidden. Gentiles, they couldn't care less. Sinners who are unregenerate, who are worshippers of idols, they couldn't care less. That's what we were like before. Were we not? We had blood with no qualms, no problem. Just purely to satisfy our carnal desires. We had blood. In the New Testament, same command. We cannot eat blood because it is a reminder that this life that we have, that this life that was sacrificed is because of our sin. And we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A continuous commandment. And God says in verse 12 of Leviticus 17, "Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even drain out the blood thereof, and then cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even, then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity." So it is a sin. When they eat strangled animals, they must go through a process of sanctification, of cleansing. And if they refuse, they remain in sin and remain in iniquity, remain as unclean, and they will be forbidden from entering the temple. Anything that God gave to them as a ritual, they will be forbidden from participation because they remain as unclean. God takes this very seriously. Your witness and my witness on earth is crucial. Please do not treat this lightly. Blood is very significant. We do not value the significance of blood in our estimation. Probably because blood is just blood. To us it means very little. But not to people in the Old Testament, not to the God of the Bible. For this, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Sometimes we think that the blood of animals are useless. Remember, animals cannot sin. That means the blood of animals is without sin. It is sinless. That's why the blood of animals can be used in the Old Testament time with God's permission, with God's recognition. Only clean animals, certain selected animals where God gave the green light, the approval, their blood will provide for sinful men some form of sanctification, some form of cleansing. Hebrews 9, verse 12. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us," that is,
a reference to the blood of Christ. Note verse 13 and 14 where there is a contrast between the blood of animals and the blood of Christ. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, that would be us. That would be the people in the Old Testament. That would include also the altar where the sacrifices were burnt. It has some value, the blood of animal. The Bible says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. In other words, the blood of animals and the ashes of these clean animals that have been offered to God acceptably from the heart, in spirit and in truth, God says they will provide some external form of cleansing. That means when the high priest enters into the most holy place, once a year and on that day of that year, he enters in two times. He will go through the sin offering, he has to go through the burnt offering, he has to go through the peace offering and the whip offering, the whole ritual, everything, every step. Once he has done it for the cleansing of his own sins, he will enter. It will provide him a temporary sanctification only for the external. How do we know that? Because the next year, when he wants to enter in again, he has to go through the same thing all over again because the internal cleansing was not possible, only external. This is what Hebrews 9:13 teaches. Now, if the blood of animals can provide such a tremendous value in the sight of God that sinners can be cleansed externally, even though momentarily, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot perfectly to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That means what Jesus Christ's blood can do, if the blood of animals can have that kind of potency, how much more the blood of Christ, once for all, this time offered not by human beings, but by the eternal Spirit of God for your sins and for my sins. How great and how complete and how thorough is the sanctification process given to sinners through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Conclusion, Hebrews 10, verse 3 and verse 4. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. The repetition tells us it is only temporal. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins permanently, continuously. It gave only temporal external cleansing. But in order for it to be eternal once for all, it must not only cleanse us externally, but also internally as well. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In other words, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all cleanses it permanently and forever. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be crucified over and over again. To do that would be to deny and to make light and to diminish the infinite worth of the value of the sacrifice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me that was shed on Calvary. This is the reason why we cannot accept the evil doctrine of transubstantiation of the Roman Catholic Church, because what they do is to sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ or crucify the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over again. They make light of the infinite worth of the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, once and for all, never to be repeated again. And this blood is the continuous atonement
Right from the very beginning, when God killed the first animal for Adam, when God gave man permission to eat meat, blood, you cannot eat, to the people of God, you cannot eat, to the people of God in the New Testament time, you cannot eat. A continuous commandment because of a continuous witness based upon a continuous atonement that you and I have, even till today. When anybody were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same atonement will be yours. The atonement that you and I have accepted and received by the grace and the mercies of God, when we from our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. Jesus says, you are born again. This continuous atonement is offered to everyone today, as it will be tomorrow till the end of time. And the end of time will be the end of this world, dear friends, because when eternity comes, only those who have been redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will be found in heaven. And by then, there will be no need of salvation because all who dwell in heaven will only be those who have been saved. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day where we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation and my salvation must be cherished, must be carefully weighed and valued. And this is how the Apostle Peter regarded the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray and hope that this is how every Christian must regard the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, Christian. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient Christian, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. By the way, the word sojourning and the word conversation in verse 15, same word. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, same word, as sojourning as the word conversation in verse 15, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The command not to eat blood must now conjure in our hearts, in our minds, the atoning work that God had planned for mankind right from the very beginning, from the time of the fall, when God killed the first animal to dress up the nakedness of Adam and Eve, our first parent. Continuous all the way through the time of Noah, continue in the time of the Old Testament saints into our age and in our time. See the long history that God gave to us as God's children, why we should not eat blood. It must bring to our mind the great and wonderful atoning work that God had planned from the very beginning, culminating in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it continues on even today. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we must remember when we think of this continuous commandment forbidding Christians to eat blood. So therefore, what do we do when you order a steak? Medium rare, rare, or well done?
the best, of course, well done. All right, because that's what we all want to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Isn't it? Well done. Isn't it what you want to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. So when you order a steak, well done. Not medium rare, definitely not rare, because the blood will be oozing out. One day when Dr. Wickham was here with us, he went for lunch with one of our church members. I can't remember who. Maybe the church member might remember. They were eating steak. Dr. Wickham ordered well done. The church member from Pandan ordered, I think, medium rare or rare. So as he was cutting his steak, blood was oozing out. And Dr. Wickham looked at him. And he looked at the blood. And the member looked at Dr. Wickham and looked at the steak.
Should have ordered well done.
Do not eat blood. Not because we cannot or do not have the ability to do so. That's not the issue. It must bring to our mind the atoning work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right from the very beginning of time. It is a long, long history why this commandment was given to God's people by God as a continuous witness of who we are, living in a world filled with occult, filled with dark forces, filled with the enemies of Christ. Let us remember the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, not purchased with gold or with silver, but with Christ's precious blood. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy holy word, the word of everlasting life that is able to lead us, guide us, and be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path in a world of darkness. And even in this simple truth on why we should not eat blood, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy word. Help us, O Lord, as Your children, to remember the continuous commandment and the continuous witness and the continuous atonement that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we truly live for Thee, that others, when they see us, may glorify our Father who is in heaven. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.